Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. Hope you had a wonderful weekend and got to spend some relaxing time with friends and family. Let's get this week started the right way. It's a trip report. We're heading to Boston with listener Chris talking about his trip to the Polynesian Villas. How does that sound? Back in September, it was himself, his wife, and his two-year-old son spending a lot of time in the theme parks, dining outside and actually using a lot of takeout at the Disney table service restaurants. And that was kind of interesting. So you might be interested in that. Also, what he thought of getting down there in September, right before the 50th anniversary. We talk a little Run Disney because he is also a runner running the Walt Disney World Marathon here in a few weeks. It's just a fun show, and it's a great way to start the week. So thanks to Chris for coming on and kicking the week off the right way. Don't forget, of course, today's show is always brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out, and let's help plan your next Disney vacation. It's the best way to support the show. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link. One extra click means a lot to us, and it's super simple. Just click through beourguestpodcast.com, and thank you to our patrons. You guys support the show. You allow us to put this podcast out 3 to 4 times a week all around the world, and we could not do it without you. You also get a bonus show every week called Mike in the Midwest. If you'd like to join Patreon, come on over. Patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 2006 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. Hope you had another wonderful weekend here in December. Man, things are going to go quickly now. Christmas will be here before you know it. And they say, procrastinators, beware this year. So get out there and get those goodies for your loved ones and get ready to have some fun. I know this Wednesday we are looking forward to something extra special here in our household. We're going to, we're doing something we haven't done in years and years. We did this when Paige was about 7 years old and haven't done it since. We're going to see some Christmas lights in one of our county parks here in St. Louis. And we've rented a horse-drawn carriage to see these. And we did this a long time ago. It's put on by the Park Service. And super excited for that because I'm a big Christmas fan. And also, for my birthday, I was gifted. Now, this goes back to another Disney podcast. Shout out to Kevin and Matt over on the 3028 if you listen to those guys. I was listening to their Dollywood show the other day. And they were talking also about Silver Dollar City, which I visited for the first time this past summer for my 15th wedding anniversary. Well, I was gifted a trip down there to see the Christmas lights here before Christmas. So we're going to head down to Branson and check that out. So yes, Christmas is alive and well here in the Rallman household and can't wait to get down there. And now we're headed up to Boston, where I hear pretty cool place to be at Christmas as well. Listener Chris is joining us. Chris, happy holidays and happy Monday. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, yeah, excited to be here. That sounds pretty awesome. We're actually this weekend getting full into Christmas spirit, actually driving up to Portland, Maine to do a Polar Express experience. And so you get on a train with your kids and hot cocoa and Santa and all that jazz. So it's we're getting all into it as well. So the season is alive and well.
I'm quite jealous of that experience because we have a Union Station here in St. Louis, and it used to be, you know, the big train station. Now it's gone through many iterations. I think like many, you know, downtown, rebirth kind of projects have happened, and there's a hotel down there, but they do bring the Polar Express in, and the news people are always on it when it comes in for the first ride, and everybody's in their pajamas, and you know, the guy looks like Tom Hanks, yep. The conductor. That looks like the coolest experience ever. I don't have any little ones anymore, so I really can't do that, but I'm like, oh, that'd be so cool. You guys are going to have a blast. That'll be so much fun.
Yeah, definitely, definitely excited for that. We'll see if mom and dad wear pajamas or not, but we'll see if you get me into it.
Hey, speaking of pajamas, my buddy Scotty G, you hear him here on the show. That dude rocked the pajamas at the after hours event, and I had to give him a hard time. He was all over the Magic Kingdom in some PJs. I don't know if I could pull that one off, but he did. Shout out to Scott. All right, so we're going to talk about your trip as we do here on Mondays, but before we do that, give us a little background on your Disney history. What about Disney makes you a Disney fan? Why are you here?
Yeah, went to Disney when I was a youngin twice, at probably the ripe old age of 5 and maybe 9, I think, give or take, and then took a rather long hiatus. And then the last, went again in 2008 with my now wife, then girlfriend. Kind of caught the bug then, and have been going regularly since then. And also then caught another bug I know you have caught as well, the Run Disney bug in around 2012. And so that just gave other excuses to go down there. I was like, ooh, so now I can feel like I'm working out and I have a destination, but also get to go there. And so, yeah, we've gone a good number of times. Can't really count since 2008. Down there, and just, you know, it's our happy place, like many people, nice little escape, and just feels like a second home.
So with the 50th anniversary going on here, the celebrating, you know, moving since October 1st through the next probably 20 months or so, what have you seen that's excited you about the celebration? Maybe a new attraction that's coming or something from the past that you would bring back if you had the opportunity? What would you do to celebrate the 50th if you had the opportunity?
To celebrate, so the bring back question is good. I've heard you obviously ask you know, a lot of people this over the past few months, and I was trying to think about, okay, what would be something? There's some obvious things, like I'd probably say, you know, 1A would be Illuminations, because that was my thing, and
yes,
you know, the main song from there was also our wedding song for my wife and I. It was our little nod to Disney, so it didn't have too much,
yes,
Disney, but it was a little there.
I like that. Was it We Go On? Is that
yeah, exactly.
Good call. Yep. I love that song. That's a great song.
But so I'll move that one to the side because that's an obvious one. What I would bring back and loved, and this maybe is a nostalgic thing when we first went, all the kitschy stuff with like Interventions. Like those things were so fun. Going in there with like the fire one,
yes,
and the garbage one,
the
and
the piggy bank,
girls,
the piggy
the
bank,
piggy,
yeah,
bank,
yes,
adventure. Those things, it was just a fun little thing to get out and just random. And like, I just feel like my wife just goofed around so much in there. And I like it was just, it wasn't anything big, but it was just this cute little side thing to do, and I just loved it. They even had like the Segway stuff in there for a period. So that was, it was just a fun little random thing to do in Epcot that I kind of miss.
You know what? That's right, because again, it's one of those things, and we've said this over, you know, we've been doing the show for over 13 years now, and we have guests on every Monday, and it many times it gets back to, you know, in the commercials, you see Cinderella Castle, you see Space Mountain, or, you know, in the recent times, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, or you're going to see Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, all the stuff in Galaxy's Edge and so forth is the, you know, the stuff that you're going to Walt Disney World for. But many times when you get back, it's the stuff like Interventions that kind of steals the show, or, you know, captures the memory. It's like right back in the day, I remember, like, I have great memories of, that's the only time I've ever been on a Segway, was in Interventions,
right,
trying it out. Yeah. I mean, I was terrible at it. I couldn't do it, but it was cool.
Yeah.
It was my only experience.
Well, because I feel like most of the things that I look back on, and like running friends that we now have to do stuff, like the attractions are all well and good, but it's the things that you can do and still interact with other people at the same time. So I think that was part of Interventions. Like, you weren't like stuck in a, you know, a vehicle or closed off and looking at other stuff. It was engaging and interacting. And so a lot of those things are, you know, really what I enjoy now. And I think you have the most memories on, whether it's family, friends, whatever.
That's a great point. Great point. Okay, so let me ask you about your running, because you said you kind of, you know, 2012-ish, you kind of got bit by the Run Disney bug. What was your first race, and what was it? Give me kind of your first experience with Run Disney.
So, my first experience wasn't my first race. My first experience was actually my wife had done the Princess in 2011. And that's when I went down and watched and cheered her on and stuff. And I was like, this is pretty cool. Like, I'm sitting there cheering, yep, from the TTC, and they had like the drummers out there, the Japanese drumming group. And I was like, this is awesome. This is so much fun. Like, why wouldn't I do this? And so I was like, I think I need to put my running shoes back, because I hadn't run in a long time either. I'm like, I think I need to start running. So the next year, we signed up both for the inaugural Tower of Terror 10 miler, which was 2012. Hot as and humid as
I do. I've run all the Tower of Terror so far. I don't know if I'm doing the one this spring, but I've done them so far. Yeah, it was hot.
That was brutal. I remember at the end, I felt like I was in a post-apocalyptic world where people were like on the sides of the road getting sick in the Indiana Jones theater, like getting sick.
That was the one. Okay, I remember now. I think the first Wine and Dine was the same way. It was super hot. People were laying in World Showcase, looking like they were gonna. It was like a MASH unit. But I do remember, like, so for the folks that don't know, that was where the gear check or something?
Yeah.
You had to walk in from the back of the tower, or the Indiana Jones theater. You had to go down all the steps. And now this was, let me tell you where I was in my running journey at this point. I didn't train at this point. This is where I didn't even put on tennis shoes except for the races at this point. So, and I also have to find the picture because you can tell by like the sneakers I'm wearing and the shirt I have on. I had no clue what I was doing. So, but I remember like I ran that race. I'm all happy. And then you had to, you know, you stopped for like 30 minutes and then you had to go get your gear and you had to go down all those steps and then back up. There were people falling down those steps because it was so hot. People were dehydrated and it was like, it was terrible. I remember now you say that it was like, that was brutal going down.
It was
those
scary.
Steps.
I remember people on like Hollywood Boulevard and Sunset Boulevard just sitting on the sides of the benches draped over. And I'm like, where am I? Like, this is insane. I thought I was trained on it. Like I gonked out because it was so hot and gross. And that's when they ran like off road through the gravel at night.
Yeah. That was they would never do that.
Yeah, my wife and I were celebrating our 1 year anniversary, so we dressed up as like zombie bride and groom. So I had this like costume on that's made of like polyester, just like drenched. I was like, it's not pretty.
I still can't believe. Yeah, you're right. People don't know, but yeah, you ran like through ESPN Wide World of Sports, but they took you literally like off of, I guess that's Osceola Parkway,
like the woods,
through the grass, through woods, and they just set up like some light standards in the woods and like put barricades, and like you were literally running like just through the woods for a good maybe, I don't know, 500 yards. It was crazy.
I mean, it couldn't really. I mean, it was. I think it was closer to a half mile. Yeah, so a little bit more than 5. It was pretty. It was a long time. In those woods.
They would never do that again, I don't think. Oh, I can't believe we did that. That was nuts. Anyway, that was good memory, though. That was, think about the old days. That was good stuff, man. That was back when fast passes were paper, people, just so you know. Anyway, okay, so you're running marathon weekend. You're going to get down there. We'll get to your trip, but I got to talk running. That's 4 weeks, man. Marathon weekend will be here. So what do you think 2022 is going to bring as far as marathon weekend? What are you running? What are you expecting?
So doing the 10K and the full, my wife's doing the half, because we have a little one, we'll talk about a 3-year-old, that someone's got to watch for those ungodly hours in the morning. I can't straddle on it and run it. I think anything will be better than the last one we ran in 2020 when the weather was atrocious and like they had to cut the course short and everything. So I'm just excited to be back. I mean, I've had so much FOMO watching everyone at Wine and Dine weekend. So I think the energy is going to be fantastic. You know, it'll probably be, you know, freezing in the morning per usual, but I love that stuff. I like running in colder weather. Anyway, I got my costumes picked out, so I'm ready to go.
So you're running a full in a costume.
I always have. Oh, my craziest one was I ran it a few years ago as Doug from Up with the Cone of Shame. All 26 miles.
I can't believe. So I ran just one. I ran Princess 10K one time with wings, and I was like, never again am I good. And I ran as Buzz one time. A 10K is as far as I'll go in a costume. That is it. Yeah. It drives me crazy. The props about Scott ran one time the whole full marathon with like the big Mickey mitts. Like he was dressed.
Ooh,
like,
that's.
Oh, dude, no way. I don't know how you guys do that stuff. That's 26 miles is miserable.
You know, you
like,
don't think about it. It's distracting enough during part of it, and then you forget about it. But yeah, I've had some good ones. I did the half is like Tomatoa from Moana with the big golden backpack on and the hands. And I like some of the obscure guys. Like I've done like a Roger Rabbit in there and stuff. So it's fun. Darkwing Duck, you know, all the good stuff.
I enjoy seeing everybody else's costumes while I'm just in a lizard t-shirt and some comfortable Nike shorts. That's about all. I'm just lucky to get to the finish, man.
This year I'm going to be in that boat. Like if I'm upright and not like in pain crossing that finish line with a full, like I will consider it a resounding success for myself. This is the most undertrained I'm going to be, but that's all right. The energy will carry me through.
God help us. Let's hope. Cause there's going to be a lot of us. Like Scott just says, team just finished. That's how it's going to be this year.
Exactly.
All right. So let's hop in your trip. So you guys went down in September, stayed at the Poly. Give us some of the planning and how it all came together.
Yeah, definitely. So, we're down in mid-September. Pre-50th there. We rented DVC points. So we've done that a few times in the past. And actually, these were points that we had rented for the 2021 marathon weekend, which did not occur. And so the person we rented from was kind enough to find us another weekend. And we kind of pushed it out as far as we could with their points. And that ended being September. That we went down. So Poly, I had stayed there when I was young, probably, I think I was 6 years old or so, or 5 years old, the first time I went down there, and return visit years later, which was awesome. Like I've dreamt of trying to stay at the Poly for the past like 12 years since we've started going back down there. And it was my wife, as I mentioned, our son, who was almost three then, so he's still two. So we got away with not needing tickets then, which was kind of part of the decision on the timing as well, because his birthday was in October. We rented a car. So we still, obviously, with him, he's young, and there, all the crazy Delta stuff was going on down there then. So we wanted to stay away from transportation as much as possible, indoor things. And I'll explain a little bit more of that when we go through it. But so we rented a car. Got grocery delivery, stroller rental, all that jazz down there. And we were there for 7 nights, so Saturday to Saturday.
Okay, so let me ask you this, just kind of in general, as far as staying at the Polynesian. I think that's kind of every Disney fan, especially folks listening to our show, because, you know, we get kind of the hardy Disney fan, the person who's all in, knows the history. I would say for most of our listeners, the Polynesian is probably a top five resort, like dream resort, if you ask, probably top three for most people. Did it kind of, I'm sure you're looking forward to it this whole time since you were, you know, looking forward to getting back there. Did it meet the expectations? I mean, did it live up to the hype that you were hoping for? Did it meet what you were looking for, or was there things lacking? What'd you think?
No, it definitely did. And I'm actually glad that we ended up doing it not on a marathon weekend, which it's much more hectic and things like that, right? Because with 7 days, 7 nights, 8 days, like, we were able to stop and enjoy, like, the resort. And that's one thing my wife and I were like, we want to make sure we do as much pool time and hanging out at the resort as possible, right? When you're staying somewhere like that, you can't be go, 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 right? You need to enjoy the actual property. It 100% did, even with, you know, they still had some of the restrictions. We actually, the weekend we went there, that's when the monorail had reopened and the main entrance to the grand ceremonial. So we weren't worried about lacking any of that stuff. And you know, all the food and everything was open. There were a few small activities with the boat rentals or stuff, but we weren't going to do that anyway. It 100% lived up to everything. I know for myself, and my wife was looking forward to it a lot too. And we were both like, are we going to be able to stay anywhere else now after this?
That's true. That's a danger. I know. Once you stay, I know. I've said this on the show many times. Like, we took a honeymoon, my honeymoon with my wife. I splurged. We went on Freedom of the Seas with Royal Caribbean. It was like one of its very first sailings. You know, honeymoon, doing it right. Got a big veranda stateroom, and you know, can't sail anything but a veranda for the rest of my life now. She won't let me. So, got to be careful when you go to Lux, man. You can't. It's hard to go back to Pop Century, people.
It's true. It definitely is. But I will say for listeners, I mean, it's a renting points, and it's tough now though, because everyone that's DVC is they got to use all those points that they couldn't use for a while there. But it's a lot cheaper if you can find a way to rent points at that 11-month window and get some nights there, because we probably paid half as much as if we paid like rack rate. By renting points. So it's a good way to sneak in into those obscenely overpriced rooms.
Right. All right. Let me ask you about the time frame though. You guys were there in September, right before the 50th kind of kicked off. How were the crowds? How was, everything going on? Did you feel like you picked a good time to go? Did you feel any FOMO, like missing out on the 50th at all? I mean, being a Disney fan?
Before I did, after when I saw that they didn't do a ton, I was like, meh, okay.
Yeah, that's true. I know you didn't miss that much, I'll be honest. I mean, really? And it's going to be there over Marathon Weekend. Like, that's all the thing.
Exactly.
If you weren't there on October 1st, you didn't really, I mean, you missed the map and you missed like a poster, and it's not the big deal. Yeah.
Yeah. But we had been looking, so I don't know if you recall, like that last week of August, like crowds were like non-existent. So I'm looking at this, I'm watching, I'm like, oh my gosh, can this hold out? Can that hold out? And they had just launched the APs like 2 days before we were going to get there. And I was like, oh, this ain't going to be great. And we knew it was Labor Day. Labor Day weekend was a little chaotic. I was looking at wait times or stuff. But I'd say the Saturday we got down there was fairly busy, not like crazy. Probably like a six or something on a crowd calendar. The rest of the time we were there, like, I mean, it's the deadest I've seen it since when we were going back in like 2009, with some of the financial crisis when it was kind of ghost towns in there. It was great. And it was hot as hell. So it was nice that we were able to bounce around easily. But we can get into some of the days. Like, we were plowing through things in the morning hours just so quickly. So it was great.
Okay, so speaking of that, let's talk about some of your times in the theme parks and your touring. Of course, you know, your son's almost 3 years old, 2 years old. How do you go about that? Because, I mean, is this one of those things you get up and try to get things done early when he's fresh, or do you wait till he wakes up? Like, how does this work out for you? It's been forever since I've had a little one. I don't remember.
I was about to say, when you say that, oh my, the youngins wake up way early enough, so it's okay. He wakes up before the park was opening, so... We had to get ourselves on his schedule. So he tends to wake up, you know, 6:30 in the morning every day. Yeah, I mean, obviously different prior to that. You know, we had 10 plus years of just, you know, two young adults, you know, dual income, going out and just drinking and doing whatever, can kind of go hard and stuff at the park. So definitely different with the youngin. But this wasn't his first trip. This was actually his sixth.
I get it. Mallory, it's sick. It's sick because I didn't go. I went for a half a day until I was like 21, you know? And yeah, it's sick. Our kids, they're spoiled.
It's terrible. They get our sickness to an advantage of theirs. But so with them, yeah, I mean, what we tried to do was, you know, definitely still live by the rule of getting there, even with those low crowds, as close to rope drop as possible. And, you know, what we tended to do every day was bang through as much as possible to, you know, 11:30. Noonish, grab some lunch either at the park, but then head back for either pool time and a nap. He still takes naps, which is a blessing for us to get the downtime. So that's always nice. He was staying up later than he typically did, but it didn't impact him at all. So you slow down a little, which was kind of nice. So it changes it slightly bit, but that break during the day, like, we never used to take that. Now that kind of forces it, and I was like, oh, this is great. As I'm getting older, I can't hang that much.
If I don't take a break in the middle of the day, I'm toast. I mean, even when I'm down there by myself, like, October 1st, we stayed in the Magic Kingdom the whole day. I was just like, God, I can't do this. I'll tell you, we took the world's longest lunch that day at Crystal Palace. We had a 2:30 ADR. We stayed in there forever because it was so hot that day. And we knew we weren't leaving because we're scared we wouldn't get back in for the fireworks. You know, it was like we had to be there for the fireworks on October 1st. So Scott and a bunch of us, we got a big ADR there, and that was kind of my midday break, was just sitting there trying to eat slowly, which was really good. Tons of Walt's chili that day. But it was just probably to the detriment of everybody traveling with me. But yeah, it was one of those things. Sorry, shouldn't have said too much. It was one of those things, though. It's just, I need a nap too. I need to go back. And just, even if it's not a nap, just to get out of the, you know, if I'm at the Magic Kingdom, just going to Geyser Point and just chilling over there and having a drink or something, that's just nice. Getting out of the nut house. Because the Magic Kingdom is a nut house after a while. You know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I don't want to be in there. Like, I like being in there early in the day and at night. I'm good, but not in the middle of the afternoon. Okay, so talk to me, though, about some of the highlights in the theme parks. Like, looking back, you know, it's been a few months. Like, what are some of the great stories or great things that happened as far as in the theme parks?
So, The first day we were there, we actually met up with some running friends, which was kind of nice, and got to see these people that we hadn't seen in, you know, probably over a year and a half. The person that I had actually run that last marathon you become fast friends with someone when you run, you know, 5.5 hours.
Yes, forever. Them, friends, you know, forever.
Right, exactly. So we got together and we're hanging out a little, but we took our son on Barnstormer, so it was his first little roller coaster. He was petrified. I scarred him for life. So a part of me felt bad, part of me was like, yes, dad won. Yeah,
that's a good dad, Tira. Right? Yes, you're like, yeah, I'm scaring him, that's awesome.
So that was cool. We one of the things, what I say, it's the most amazing thing in the world, but the first time we've ever done it in the trip, and I like kind of having something new to do, so I have to figure out what I have left that I haven't done there. But we went to, on our second day, we were in Animal Kingdom and went over to Rafiki's Planet Watch. I had never been back there before. I don't know if you've ever made it back there.
Yeah, I've been back there. Yeah, pet the goats a couple times. My favorite part's the train ride. Cool. I like that train.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was kind of cool. Different, something different to see. My son loved, like, the petting zoo area with the goats, and they have, like, the... for people that missed the Animation Academy, they're doing the drawings and stuff back there. We didn't stop for that, but I definitely missed that from Hollywood Studios. So people that are still jonesing for that can go back there. So that was kind of cool to go back there. Let's see, a few of the other interesting highlights in the parks, particularly. We so one of the days, this is how slow it was on one of our Magic Kingdom days. We got there right around rope drop, maybe 8:30-ish, 8:45 was opening at 9, but they opened early. This one, they were still kind of opening, like, prior to announced opening. So we kind of walked right in between 8:30 and 11:30, right? And this is without fast passes, right, and everything. I think we went on 9 attractions or 10, like, and not, like, it was amazing. Like, it was, you know... We went on Buzz 3 times just because my son got obsessed with it, like literally almost in a loop. But we did, you know, Haunted Mansion, Dumbo, and Speedway, and Winnie the Pooh, and Little Mermaid, and when Peter Pan. Just plowed through all of them by 11:30. That's how I was like, this is amazing. Like, just like, keep going.
You know what's funny too is because you mentioned like how things have changed. You know, you used to go with just your wife, and you know things. You know, you go to Epcot, drink around the world. Things were like a lot different before you had your kid. And when you go back and you, because, you know, the rides you just named, like a lot of people are, you know, maybe rolling their eyes if they're taking a walk or something, if you're not at a certain point of your life. And, you know, I skip a lot of these rides again, you know, but I you know, when I look back and now that I take the time, because every once in a while, Mallory would be like, you know, let's do Astro. Well, Astro Orbiter is kind of like our thing. When she was little, she always wanted to ride that. And I'm like, we never rode that. But now it's kind of our ride. But you said, like, Winnie the Pooh or Tomorrowland Speedway, you know, all those kind of rides. And the thing is, a lot of us, unless you have a little kid, you skip them. But then when you go on them, you're like, these things are actually kind of fun. And especially when you have a little one, when you get to ride it with them and see them giggle and laugh. And, you know, he's probably too young to drive the car yet. But, I mean, once he gets driving.
No, he was behind it. Okay, he was spearing it. I had to work the pedals, and he's just giving me a whiplash.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, go, and you're just like, oh, my God, I got to see a chiropractor.
Yeah, it was, but we're just laughing the whole time. I agree. I mean, I don't know if I probably had been on that once before, just as kind of like a goof to like go on it, but you know, you come off it nice high from the fumes.
Yeah, exactly.
So you really get going the rest of the day.
Like, yes, I'm really hungry. I need to go over to Cosmic Rays.
Oh my gosh! But and you know, we did on that one. We did Haunted Mansion one of the other days. We did Pirates, so we banged through, you know, most of them. We didn't do any of the rider swaps. We were like, nah, we don't need to go on those because, again, we've done this so many times. We're like, yeah, whatever. But my son is also, though, you know, he's obsessed with the Haunted Mansion. He loves the Hitchhiking Ghost. Like, I'll play like Grim Grinning Ghost at home for him, and he sings along, and he does the creepy like Harry Potter.
Very nice.
Did this once when I was putting him to bed. Like, I turned the lights off, and I was like, "What the heck is wrong with you, kid?"
Yeah, that's a little eerie. Yeah. Don't do that again.
No.
Knock it off. No, okay. What about characters in your son? Is he into characters, or how's that go?
Yeah, I mean, so we saw some of the Calicays, and he got pretty excited for them. I think he's at like that age now where he gets a little shy around people, so that was good for him to kind of see them from a distance and see them as they kind of went past and stuff like that. It'll be interesting when we go down in January for those character sightings or whatever they're calling them now, like if he'll even want to go near the ropes to take a picture. So we'll be interested, but the Cavalcades were great. You know, we saw them a bunch of times at Magic Kingdoms. The floating Cavalcades in Animal Kingdom were awesome to see go by. Caught a couple of them at Hollywood Studios as well. So it was nice, and he enjoyed seeing them from far and you know, screaming at them and trying to wave or whatever. He was definitely obsessed with a lot of the princess one. He just kept wanting to run next to it and wave to them. And I was like, hey, whatever, man, good for you. go get them. Yes, that he definitely enjoyed. And we also got to do, which was cool then, because that's when the Remy AP previews were. And so my wife and I had annual passes because we knew we had went actually in May, and we knew we were going January and this. And so all kind of postponed trips. So we were able to snag an AP preview day on Wednesday or one of them. I forget which one it was, but which was great. So we got to roll right in there and ride it. We rode it, I think, like four times in a row. A little too much. Got a little nauseous after that.
Yeah.
That's a lot of times for those 3D rides. But my son just goes, oh, we want to go again. But so that was cool. And controversial. I mean, I don't know. Maybe this is controversial. Like, I 100% think Remy is better than Runaway Railway, in my opinion.
Really?
I do. I don't know. I think it's a fun, but I feel like it's a more fun, like, interesting story. For me, Runaway Railway is too chaotic. Like, I don't know what's going on.
That's a good point. Here's my take on that. Okay, just because I love having these kind of conversations, and I'm glad you brought that up. I think Remy is, it's a great, fun, dark ride. I don't think it's like, I would have a hard time saying it's like an e-ticket, like a Seven Dwarfs Mine Train or something.
Yeah.
And I don't think it needs to be. Like, I don't think every ride needs to be like Rise of the Resistance level anymore. And I think that some people expect if Disney comes out with a new ride, it has to be like some groundbreaking thing. I got off, but again, I haven't seen the movie. And I've only seen, I saw parts of it the night before on the bus on the way. But ironically, it was crazy that I was on a bus that saw showed part of that movie when I was coming home from the Magic Kingdom on October 1st back to Pop. Weird. But the thing is, I had a good time. Like, it was just a little crazy. We're going through the kitchen. I'm seeing all these scenes. It's a little 3D. You know, there's some physical props. It was a great ride. It was a great, fun, dark ride, even though I didn't know the movie. But Runaway Railway, it is. It's fun, though. You got the little dancing scene. Everybody's, you know, laughing in that part of the ride. But there's no movie associated with that. But you're right. It is chaotic, man. There's crazy stuff going on.
It's like a fever dream.
It is. Where am I supposed to be looking? I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. I mean, don't get me wrong. I come out of it, I do have a smile on my face, and it entertains me. So it's not like something I won't do again. But I also think, again, I think this goes back to the kid thing. Like, my son just came out like so giddy on Remy and loved it that it's probably at the point now when we go down in January, like, I don't get one of those like virtual queues, I'm gonna have to pay for a lightning for this damn thing. Like, I don't want to.
I
really do not want to. Like, I'm very anti-ill or IAS, whatever the heck we're calling it. But I think I would have to, because he would just be devastated and just asking for it over and over again. So I'm like, all right.
They're working our kids against us.
Yeah, I know. They definitely knew it there. I mean, they basically took the only two kid rides in Epcot between Frozen and that. They're like, here. Hey, yes.
Gonna get you again. You're right. I mean, kid focus. So, I was gonna ask you about the Epcot day as a whole. Like, how do you go about that with a toddler? Because again, it's a lot different as a couple. Now you got a toddler. Like, did he take well to World Showcase? Did you spend time in World Showcase, or was it a park that you didn't spend as much time in?
So we didn't. We went there twice, I want to say. Yeah, I think it was twice, and both kind of second half of the day thing. So we never started there, which was good, just because the late starts anyway. So on one of the days when we did the Remy preview, we had that at like 4 o'clock. So the morning, we actually made that a full pool morning, and just got up and did the pool the whole day, and it was great. And then, you know, headed over there. The good thing was food and wine was still going on then. So we kind of snacked around, and he tried some different stuff, and he's kind of an adventurous kid with things that he likes to eat for that age anyway. So he was trying a lot of the different stuff. We stopped into a few of like the shops where they have like the KidCot things, which for this one, they weren't doing as much as they do before, but they still had the little passport and the sticker. But it's definitely not like the same. Like before, we would have went into Rose and Crown and hung out there for a little while with a drink, or went to, you know, La Cava and hung out there for a little while. So we weren't doing any of that. So it definitely changes it. I couldn't see us spending, I feel like prior to that, that was the park we would almost always end our days in and spend the most amount of time at the end of the day. I don't see that happening for, you know, the foreseeable future, you know, with him around. Cause it really is kind of, there's not a whole lot. For kids that age anyway, there, like, once it gets a little older and maybe you can do some of the culture and things like that. I think now with the holidays things and they have the storytellers, like, that's probably good for kids, but just at any part of the year, it's like, meh, and not too much.
Yeah, it totally makes sense. I mean, you got, you know, Frozen Ever After, you got the Seas with Nemo and Friends, Turtle Talk with Crush when it's going.
Yeah.
Spaceship Earth, you know, can entertain a toddler, but I mean, they don't get the story. Maybe it's just they see the animatronics and so forth. I mean, it puts me to sleep. I love it. Don't worry. I'm not being a bad Disney fan, but sometimes I'm tired and it's like, it's so calm in there. I can't. I've lost two pair of sunglasses on that thing because I put them on top of my head, and then I'd like going up the hill, I just, and they fall right off the top. And they, one of them were my favorite pair of sunglasses. I was like, oh man, it's the price you pay for falling asleep in Spaceship Earth. But yeah, I totally get what you're saying. Now, let me ask you, because you mentioned something earlier, and I kind of want to get into this because I think this might benefit a lot of our listeners. You talked about, you kind of had a focus on with your dining, possibly. I think you said that you were trying to kind of dine outside where you could, or trying to, you know, try to be safe as you could in these times. And can you speak to that, like how that worked out for you guys?
Yeah. So we, like you said, we were trying to avoid being indoors, unmasked, or just for prolonged periods of time. So we were like, okay, we're going to try and book places where we think they still have some patios or stuff, and if we don't, you know, we'll cancel them and things like that. So we ended up, I actually think we ended up not eating sit down in any place. But what we did was we took advantage of the takeouts of all of the like sit down restaurants, which was awesome. So for example, we did, since we stayed at the Poly, we got Kona And ate that down by the pool when we were there one day, which was awesome.
That actually sounds, that sounds amazing,
yeah,
really.
It was great. Yeah. And I mean, you know, it's not like the food had to travel much. And so we like got that over there, which was lovely. I had one of the fish that they had there. And then, so that was great. Then we also did one day, we did Sanaa's takeout. So luckily with a rental car, this is easier because we kind of drove over to Animal Kingdom Lodge. While we were waiting for the food, you know, we watched the animals and stuff out back so my son could hang out and do that. Grabbed it, drove back to the hotel and ate in the room, which was good. We did that again for Ale & Compass. We got takeout there, which was phenomenal. And then the last one we did was Trattoria Al Forno. We did that, but we actually ate. So this was like the one night we were able to avoid the rain most of the trip. But this one night we got that and it was downpouring. And luckily enough, like the patio for Abracadabra, which is covered, like we asked the server there, hey, do you think it's okay if we sit here and eat the food we got there? Like we'll order drinks. He's like, oh yeah, go for it. It's fine. Like all four tables that were outside or six tables outside were open. And so he let us sit there and we had, you know, some drinks and hung out. And so we had our nice Italian meal out there and had some lovely cocktails. And so, I mean, four of the nights we got these kind of takeouts, which ended up being fantastic. And so for people that, you know, it was beneficial because with a toddler, if you want to sit through like an hour and a half meal in a restaurant, no.
I remember those days. I mean, you're just, even when your kid's being good and you're just sitting down in a restaurant, and I know it's Walt Disney World, there's kids everywhere, but I felt like, it was like sitting on a bomb the whole time.
It's
like,
a shot clock going, right?
100%. You're just like, oh my God, at any minute, I just got to eat so, because I was a teacher, so yeah. I ate fast anyway, because I got a 25-minute lunch during the school year. But I mean, I was like, shoveling in all this food at like $50 a plate. You know, I'm like, I can't do this. You're right, man. It just sounds beautiful when you have a toddler.
Yeah. it worked out because even then, like, you know, like when we brought it back to the rooms, it was late in the days we were doing it. And so he could sit there and we had, you know, Bluey or other stuff on the TV. If he wanted to be done eating, he could do that. And mom and dad, you know, we got some drinks in the Poly Lobby there at the bars and whichever and did that. And then the other one we did also outdoors was, which is a good sneaky one for people that don't know about it. And if you're in Magic Kingdom, maybe pop over to dinner, the Trader Sam, the Terrace, like the Tiki Terrace, mm-hmm. I think it's called. They have the food there. I mean, their drinks are unique and great, but no one talks about the food, man. The food is great. They have amazing tacos, dumplings, sushi is really good there. So highly recommend that. And you can sit out there. They had some live music going on. It was awesome. Yes. So that was another good one for outdoors if people want to do it.
Yeah, you name my top two things over at the terrace over there at Trader Sam's, tacos and the dumplings. And when I was over there, they had somebody out there playing music outside. It was awesome, man. It was a beautiful night. It was just like, I'm like, God, this is, I know we go for the theme parks, right? I mean, that is why we go. But I mean, I was sitting there thinking, man, I'm having like a margarita sitting here or something. I can't remember, or something. I can't remember what the drink was. Who knows? But I was having tacos and dumplings and somebody was playing like Polynesian music. I was just like, God, this is what vacation is supposed to be.
It really was so relaxing. It transports you away. It was really cool. And like, you know, so I would highly recommend that to people, whether or not you want to go indoors or not. Like that's, you know, just a nice little escape there. And it's, you know, depending on the time you go, it's actually never, we've done it a few times. You can usually snag a table if you hang out for you know, maybe 15, 20 minutes. You'll be able to snag a table there usually pretty easily.
So real quick, though, about the logistics of getting the to-go meals, like how did that work out in case anybody, because I'm sure there's people out there listening right now, like that's going to work out for us. We got toddlers or that sounds like a good plan for us. Like how'd you go about doing that?
Yeah, so you can, it actually works almost exactly the same as mobile order, right? In a sense where you put in your order for a specific time that you want it, whenever you want to do it, you put in, they don't charge you till you say you're there. So you can put the order in, and if for some reason you decide don't want to do it, can't make it to that resort, you know, whatever, we know that things happen during the days there, you just cancel it, and they don't charge you until you say I'm here. And then between the I'm here, like, between that and that, like it varied by some of them because they are making them to order at that point. Mm-hmm. So usually assume for like a 15 to 20 minute wait in between those of when saying that you're there to get the food. You know, what we had heard again, because we drove because we had the rental car. We've heard for some people like getting turned away at the gates to some of these resorts because, you know, we had to do one of them at Boardwalk. We had to do one of them at, you know, Yacht Club there. So resorts that tend to be a little stricter with their parking, but we just showed them, hey, I'm picking up food, and they let us right through, which was great. And yeah, they give you utensils and all that jazz. So if you did want to just go like eat, Crescent Lake, if you got one of those things, or if you got it at, like we said, at Kona, and just wanted to go downstairs and eat, like you get everything that you need. So
that's a great idea, though. I mean, to bowl order something, and you're right, to sit at one of those tables like right along Crescent Lake there, or right on the boardwalk, and just enjoy if it's a nice night. I mean, that's even
and Ale and Compass is good food, man. I think that's also another little hidden location. It's not like it's not the best food on property, but it's darn good for the price too. To be honest with you.
Oh my gosh. Okay, let me ask you. You keep mentioning having the car, so. Did you have any tips for that? I mean, getting around, I mean, especially with the toddler, I'm sure that was renting the car. I know they say it's difficult right now to secure a car. Was that any kind of a challenge? How'd that go? And just the logistics of having it at Walt Disney World?
Yeah, I mean, so this isn't we started renting a car some years ago, and just with like marathon weekends and stuff, we liked having it to get to like the expo, and then for like the early mornings when we knew we weren't going to the parks right after, it was a little more convenient than worrying about like the buses and stuff like that. So we've been doing it for a while now. I will say, this year it was a lot different because the inventory was worse and the price points have started to go up, but, scoured enough and found a discount code like you find anywhere. But what I would advise for anyone that's doing it, go with one of the companies that has like where you create an account, put all your information in, and then just walk over and pick it up. So like Avis and Hertz both have those where you just go right to the car, because the lines for these things, like, to actually like check in if you didn't have them, were ridiculous. Like when we got there, it was a Saturday, like 11 or 11:30 in the morning. The lines for the rental car probably would have been like an hour and a half or 2 hours. The Magical Express was also like that, right. But I was glad that we could just like walk right over. So I'd highly recommend looking for one where it can just be that, you know, walk up, grab your keys and go type situations.
That's a good tip, because, you know, as we move into 2022 here in less than 3 weeks, people, you know, Magical Express is going to be a thing of the past, which is sad. I mean, I hate to see it go, because again, that was a complimentary service, whether you use it or not, it was an option, which now you got Mears Connect you can use if you want, which is similar, but you got to pay for it. But I think a lot of people will be kind of exploring different, you know, it was just the default for me because, you know, I would just schedule my flights for where I built in enough time to take Magical Express, save the money. Because a lot of times I go down solo, and with the family in the summer, we're not on a big shot clock or anything. We're not hurrying. So it was fine. But I mean, you know, now I could look at a car, you know what I'm saying? Because it's just like, I'm going to be looking at other options. So I'm looking at all the options. So I bet you people will be. I wonder how that's going to affect the rental cars, because more people are going to rent them now, especially Marathon weekend is going to be kind of the first test, right? Because the runners are all going to be getting there like at the same time, like Wednesday, Thursday. It's gonna be crazy.
Yeah, it's gonna be that'll be interesting to see, like, you know, there's gonna be a lot more of these kind of livery cab services popping up down there and the town car services than there ever were before. So it'll be interesting to see. Like, I was one of those people that would reserve my rental car, like, you usually got the best deals like 2 or 3 weeks out. Now you have to do it like the complete opposite. Like, I booked mine for the January run already. We have a trip later next year that I've already reserved one for, that just in case. I'm like, you know, because rates were going the opposite direction from how they used to be the cheapest before, because there was always extra inventory. Now they're very scarce. So that would be my advice, you know, and also don't Google Maps sometimes will lie to you on property. I will be honest with that. Sometimes it's not the fastest direction from A to B. The Disney exits, the signage is not awesome, but usually those are the better ones to follow. A funny one other story. Last time we were there, we were actually doing takeout also from Sanaa, and I just put in, you know, Google Drive me to, you know, Animal Kingdom Lodge, and for some reason the Animal Kingdom Lodge address was for like another hotel called Animal Kingdom, like in the complete opposite direction. I didn't realize where I was driving. I wasn't paying attention, and we went like 20 minutes the wrong way, and I'm like, where the heck, why did I? And this isn't, I mean, I've been driving on property for probably the past like 9 years, and I just wasn't even paying attention. So, like,
why am I seeing SeaWorld? What's going on?
wait a minute. But it was pretty good. So, the last thing I'll add, I know we're getting close to time here, Michael. The two other interesting things, one, which was awesome, we watched, so we did one night, we were in the pool, then we got out of the pool late at night. And they were starting one of the movies in the green area at the Poly, but before it, they had like this, like almost this like Dance Dance Revolution thing game going on the TV where kids were dancing, which was a ton of fun. I did not dance, but my son and my wife both did, and I have video proof, which is phenomenal. I had went over to Trader Sam takeout window to get myself a crack toe or something to enjoy the show. And then we went right over actually to the beach and watched the fireworks from there, which was great watching it with the kid. First time he's ever seen fireworks. So he had a blast with that, and that was good. I was happy we got to see Happily Ever After for one last time from over there, which was nice to see. That was probably the other experience that's going to stand out for a while for me was being able to do that.
And that was going to be my last question. Like, what's the trip going to be remembered for? Like, what's the highlight? What's that kind of special memory? And that's really it. You know, you go down and, you know, I always say, you know, my favorite ride, Space Mountain, you know, my favorite restaurant's Olivia's, you know, and as much as I have a good time going and, you know, and I'm there with Scott and his family, I'm there with my family, whoever I'm with, you know, and having buttermilk chicken, like life's good, trust me. But it's always those, you know, just when, you know, like looking back, you know, just riding Astro Orbiter at a random time with Mallory, just the time with your family. And, you know, it doesn't have to even be in the theme parks. Like you said, I mean, it could be a lot of times it's just hanging out at the pool or just, you know, like you said, movies under the stars, or sometimes, you know, the resorts have like arts and crafts where you make something. Because I remember one of the things Mallory, she still talks about, she made, we weren't even staying there. We were just there for like a podcast meetup or something. The Beach Club Villas had like ceramics or something in the community room that you could do for like $5, $7 or something. Mm-hmm. You bought something, you painted it and created it. Like that was the greatest thing in the world. You know what? We have a bunch of places here at home that they do that, but no, it was, she talks about that there, you know, it's one of those things. It was just, it was a memory. So it just sounds like you had a great time. So you're going back in January. So besides getting the medals and making 26.2 miles on that Sunday and some of the other races, you know, what's on the agenda kind of quickly? Like, what are you hoping for January in 3 weeks?
It's coming fast. It's another solid 7 days. We'll be down there. I think we get there Thursday through then. I mean, besides the races and stuff, I'm just excited to see a lot of friends, running friends that I haven't seen in ages. 2 years it'll be for a lot of these people, so I'm excited to go and see these people that, you know, even though we haven't seen each other in so long, you know how it goes, you see them again, it's like you hadn't seen each other, you saw each other, you know, just recently, and you're still fast friends. So excited for that. You know, excited to see Harmonious. I've, you know, watched some videos of it or whatever. I will begrudgingly, similar to you, I was a unapologetic Illuminations fanboy till the end. Like, it was my like emotional roller coaster. Yes. Like, yes. I would well up, and like, I remember one time my wife was standing next to me and like nudged me to say something. I was like, shh, shh.
Yeah, I you don't have to tell me. That is you're speaking to my soul right there, man. That's it.
but
I mean, you're all in. That was your wedding song, so you're ahead of me.
so I'm excited to see Harmonious in person. That soundtrack actually, like, it has grown on me now that they added it to Spotify. When I'm on runs, I'll throw that on sometimes, and it kind of gives you a little kick in the butt. It's actually really cool. I really like how they actually did some of the different arrangements for those songs that everyone knew, and kind of appreciate that. So excited. That's probably one thing that, you know, I'm looking forward to that's newer, that we hadn't seen. That's about it. You know, just the relaxation of running 26 miles.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Getting up at 3 a.m. to go run forever.
I love it. I love it. There's just some weird adrenaline rush.
It is for a while. It goes, it ebbs and flows over the 5 hours. Some point, ESPN, I question life choices every year.
Hopefully, I hope they don't bring that back, because I don't know which was worse, that or the
Blizzard
water
Beach.
Park.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Blizzard Beach parking lot. I'm like, I hate this parking lot. I was hating Coronado Springs. We didn't even go through Coronado Springs. We just ran past it. I'm like, I used to like that resort. I hate Coronado Springs right now. I see everything at that point.
The one thing I will say, here's one last comment on it. And again, I think this is something that you'll appreciate. So we're staying at Caribbean Beach in January, just because my wife doesn't love navigating around. I was like, well, I'm running the full. You can just hop on the Skyliner and you can see us on the boardwalk or whatever. But my son, we had stayed at Caribbean previously, and his now, I think his second or third favorite attraction in Disney is the Skyliner. Like, we weren't staying on the Skyliner this trip, but we went to Hollywood Studios as we're walking in. He's like, I want to go on that. And so instead of going into the park, we went and did a round trip on the Skyliner before going back to the
park. I like your kid. That's, I'm telling you what, man, because I was there the day the Skyliner opened. And the first thing I said, because I took it straight to the studios, and I'm like, this thing's like the ultimate ride to get to the rest of the rides. Yeah. Like, this is a ride in itself. It's great.
Yeah, it's
awesome.
So, he's definitely, he's cut from my cloth. My wife hates heights or whatever. So she's like, you guys go on that. She went in and like went on a rock and roller coaster or something while we did a round trip.
That's crazy. That's awesome. I love it.
Yeah.
All right, well, hey, I appreciate you taking the time to come on. It's really been a lot of fun talking about your trip, and you know, stay safe in your training. This is the point of the whole cycle where it's like, you know, it's why does Disney do this in January? Like, you're in a cold weather climate, I'm in a cold weather climate. Like, there's gonna be ice, there's probably gonna be snow. We're trying to get trained up, and it's like not good weather to do that. So keep yourself safe, get those miles in, and we'll see you down there in 3.5-4 weeks, and we're gonna have a good time. We'll be out there on Sunday, all getting through it together. And happy holidays to the family, and thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, great being here, and happy holidays to you and everyone listening as well.
All right, don't forget, today's show brought to you by The Magic for Less Travel. Check them out for all your Disney trip planning needs. We'd sure love to help you plan the next vacation. Hey, if you want to be crazy and run races, you can still do that right now. You can run the spring surprise races. We were talking about Tower of Terror 10 miler. It's back, baby, this spring. We can get you down there. March 31st through April 3rd, I believe, is that race weekend. And there's still availability, but you need to book your hotel room quick because they're going fast. But I'll tell you what, probably not going to be as hot as it was that time. And I think that was in like late September, October when they ran it the last time. It could be, but I'm just saying probably not. But you can have a good time. We can take care of that. Of course, go down this summer, just taking all the, you know, great times. Disneyland, got a Disney Cruise Line. We're booking a lot of Disney cruises. It's a good time to get out to see with Disney Cruise Line. We'll take great care of you. Simple. Drop by themagicforless.com, fill out the quote form wherever you want to go, put the dates, what you're thinking. We'll take great care of you from there. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, during this holiday season, please use our Amazon affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. One extra click, boom, you're right back to Amazon getting your great deals. And it really does help support the show. So if you don't mind, bookmark it. If you think about it, click through it. It really helps us out. brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And also a huge thank you to our patrons. You guys really did help us out. You want to know how the funds help us support the show? The podcast computer went down this past week, totally dead. Now, we got 11 years out of that computer and over 1,500 podcast episodes. So God bless that old Dell. It did its job. It was on for almost 11 years solid, except for like the 30 minutes, telling Chris, except for the 30 minutes where we moved from Florissant to our new house in 2019. That's about the only time that sucker was off. So it did a good job, but it went down and died for the last time. You can ask Ricky about an hour before we were getting ready to record the shows last week. So then I had to run a micro center, buy a huge, crazy gaming computer. It's your basic computer that gets the podcast done, but that's what I use the funds for. Stuff like that keeps us on the air, and it's because of your support. So thank you so much that we can keep podcasting. It is very much appreciated. I can't thank you enough for that. So thanks for that. If you'd like to support us over on Patreon, you get Mike in the Midwest every week. So check it out, patreon.com/brguestpodcast. Give us a follow on social media, Instagram and Twitter at brguestmike. Subscribe to the show on Facebook and YouTube. You'll get a notification every time we go live. And of course, live shows every Sunday night, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central. You, me, and Scotty G, and we'll be taking your calls live this Sunday night. We'll be there, and I hope you will be too. Finally, ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and Stitcher, wherever you grab your shows. I use Pocket Cast typically. We'd love a 5-star review if you have a few minutes. Over 2,000 shows, and that's kind of the way people can discover us. It's amazing. People haven't heard of us, some people, and we've done 2,000 shows. What else can we do? Give us a rating and review. Maybe we'll find somebody else. I don't know. We do what we do. Anyway, thanks so much for that. And everybody that's already left a rating review, thank you for doing that. All right, time to get out of here and let you get on with your week. Thanks so much for hanging out with us for the last, 52 minutes or so. We appreciate your time. So we'll be back again on Wednesday with more of your listener questions. So until then, for Chris, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Time to get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.